Good evening. And now, the Inspirational Quarterly.
And done!
Oh my God. Oh, 2 weeks of silence is rough, man. I probably burned some relationships there. I think there are some people who are not going to forgive me for that. Ooh, wow.
I mean, either that or...
How was your 2 weeks?
Well, you know, I just learned sign language.
God, that would have been the smart thing to do. We have a whole language for this.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing that people do specifically in this situation. God. Ugh, I'm an idiot. Well, it's okay. There'll be future wives, right?
I guess. I mean, Future Wives sounds like another Keith novel or something.
Ooh. Keith, we charge consulting by the hour.
I think Keith has like so many like ideas that like he would never need to pay us.
Yeah, but it's not the idea. It's how you like massage the idea. We set him up with the idea of Future Wife, but then he's like, all right, but like, where does it go from there? Because we get him hooked, and then he needs to come to us to tease out what exactly, you know, where it goes from there.
It'd be so good if like Future Wife was like kind of like Terminator 2, you know, mm-hmm. where like the Terminators that like they're more like wives, and they're like, you know, come from the future to kill us. That would be good. I mean, I know my wife always wants to kill me.
Well, on that cheerful note, we're back. Intro us. We got an intro. We got to intro the podcast.
Welcome back to the Inspirational Quarterly. It used to be a podcast whereby we read through the USA Today bestselling author Keith R.A. DeCandido's Ghost Nova, Starcraft Ghost Nova. But, Davey, we ran out.
Which is why today we're going back to page one and starting all over again.
I mean, there's a part of me that wants that to happen, but also,
not quite.
Do we want to do this for the rest of our lives?
Yeah, Jesus. We did finish, and aside from going back to the start and rereading it over from the very beginning, there's no more StarCraft Ghost Nova left. I went all the way to the very back page. I looked at the cover. I turned the cover over a bunch of times. There's no more. It's just, it's out of... It's done with Paige.
Yeah.
Not more of them.
I mean, we could start writing the next pages.
Okay. I was going to get to this, but, and I guess I could do this. I could do it now, but I did plug the last chapter of the book into the AI and see what it came up with. Yeah. We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. Well, this is the recap. This is the what did we learn? What did we feel? Why? Why did we do this? You know. Let's unpack the basic. Just why? Why?
Yeah.
Kara, why? I need you because I can't. I don't know.
Why? Why did we do it? Why? I think that there was probably a kind of deep trough of despair that humanity was somehow inhabiting in the middle of when we started this. Mm. Let's not convince ourselves we all got out of that. But there's a part of me that's like, the reason we did it was because we needed something frivolous, right, to concentrate on. There had to mm-hmm. be something completely useless and deeply whimsical that we could do that meant that our brains are preoccupied with something else for, you know, an hour out of the day, you know?
Well, let's put it this way, because when you say, because I agree with you deeply, I agree with you that it's whimsical and useless, and that it was a wonderful, enjoyable thing to do during a completely miserable period of time. But do good for the world in other ways? Was it useful? Let's think about this for a second. Was this podcast of value to any human being in the world?
I mean, I wonder if it is, because you know when you watch a YouTube of someone playing a video game, or you listen to a podcast or anything of that nature, it's actually...
You listen to someone read StarCraft Ghost Nova from start to finish, like any of these activities.
The range of things like that, you know, when there are a couple of voices or even just one more voice that's like talking to you, the listener, I feel like there is like a social quality to it that makes you feel like you're in the company of friends, right? And so I think that, you know, especially with this, you know, there's probably some comfort in coming back to this silly pursuit every week and just feeling like you're around people you've gotten to know, you know?
Yeah. You might say there are no strangers, only friends you've not met yet.
Exactly.
Or ever, because probably most of the people listening to this will never meet us, probably, I imagine. How many people did we have listening to this thing by the end? I want to pull up the, because on Anchor, which is what we use to host the show, they give us a bunch of metrics and all sorts of stuff. So
Let
me pull that up real quick. What's your guess for Anchor's estimated audience for us?
You mean like unique people who tuned in?
It's like it's saying like, yeah, like in an ongoing way, the amount of people who are listening,
like on average.
This says the average number of plays each of your episodes gets within 30 days after publishing. This is a stand-in for your current audience size.
I mean, 20? I don't know if that's optimistic.
You'd be surprised. 183, baby. What? 183 human motherfucking beings.
That's awesome.
I know that part of why... because I'm looking at our graph here and we saw a huge spike in the last few weeks in listenership, and I was like, why did we see this massive spike in listenership? And then I realized, oh, I know why. It's because I went on my brother's Twitch stream, and my brother has an actually like meaningfully popular Twitch stream, like a substantial Twitch stream, and I went on there and said, hey, you should listen to my podcast, The Inspirational Quarterly. So now we got this big spike.
At the end, we got a bunch of listeners.
I know. Isn't that just how it is? Isn't that just the way it is? Yeah. I know. So welcome all of you.
Is your brother a famous person? That's so cool.
He's like legit big on the internet space. Yeah, for real.
I mean, we should have done this ad spot earlier.
That would have been the intelligent, normal thing to do. We also finally got our microphones working three episodes ago. The very, very end. It's like I watched a documentary about Disney animators, and one of them was, and this was back in the 2D hand-drawn day, and one of them was like one person's entire job was just to draw one single character for the entire production, right?
Wow.
And he was saying how you spend 2 years learning to draw this character, and then you're like, all right, I did it. I know how to draw. We can begin the movie now. And then that's when it ships and you're done.
Oh,
and it's, you know, it's like, yeah, we started this podcast in, oh my God, when did we start this podcast?
Like years ago.
Yeah, I know. It was literal decades ago. Not even joking. Literally decades ago. We started this podcast on February 2nd, 2021. It is now June 9th, 2022. We spent 16 months learning how to do a podcast. And by the end, baby, we're fire.
Yeah, I
mean, we got it.
Now we know how to do it, but when we
sound good. We're doing all the right marketing. Let's send this baby into the sunset with a fucking Viking burial is what we're giving it. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to yeet it.
Yeah, yeet that shit out of here.
Yeah, it's time. It's time to get to the end.
We are a listenership. We've got a new listenership. We're just gonna yeet them into the sun.
Yes, join us, all you new viewers. Welcome. Come with us into the sun. be our merry band of sunwalkers as we march gallantly forth into that great flaming ball on the horizon. We, of course, this is our kind of our wrap up, you know, lessons, loves, learned, remembrances, thoughts, prayers, attitudes, cherished memories episode. And then we're going to have Keith on and we're going to talk to him. And we're going to grill him on all the big questions we've been sitting on since the last time we grilled him.
Right.
And that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a few emails from people who wrote into us. We do have some emails. Let's start with this one from Alejandra. And Alejandra writes in, "Hi guys, I just wanted to write in to tell you what I've done while we read this book together."
Aw, thanks.
In that time, I changed jobs. Kara, I believe so. Did you?
Oh yeah.
Changed house, traveled. I think all of those you.
I did those. Yep.
But most importantly, I've played the Stanley Parable, and I love it.
You don't play.
Did you do that one, Kara? Did you do that one?
I played the Stanley Parable eons ago, twice for work. So you know.
Oh, for work. Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, no, I've played your games for work too.
Have not.
That's actually probably true, but it sounds better if I say it like that.
No, I played twice for work and once for pleasure. And all three times, it was weird because you talked to me through it. So
one out of three for pleasure. I'll take it. In baseball, I'd be on fire.
For sure.
Alejandra does add with about Stanley Parable, but I was terribly disappointed by the lack of Family Guy references. Which, yeah, I get it. Sorry.
If you feel like you thirst for my voice further, you can play Void Bastards and I yell at you in that video game.
But do you yell about Family Guy in Void Bastards?
I don't think there's a Family Guy reference. I think I would have been fired if I'd made it, but I am pretty certain that in Void Bastards there's quite a bit of Scottish screaming. So, you know, if you feel like you miss it, it's there.
Alejandra also says, "Looking forward to whatever book you guys choose next. A book of poems, the third book in a trilogy, an algebra book. At this point, I would listen to anything with you guys. Lots of love."
Oh, that is so sweet.
That is very sweet.
Those do sound like choices we would make as well, right?
An algebra book would be fucking hilarious. Can you imagine if we read an algebra book for fun for this podcast?
I mean,
that would actually be legit hilarious.
I don't know, like, what would we even say? I mean, I guess the joy of this podcast is every week we turn up with, you know, no idea what we're gonna say. And then we find something.
The thing is, StarCraft Ghost Nova gave us like plot and characters. And it's true that we largely abandoned the plot and characters, but we did sometimes you follow the plot and characters. Whereas an algebra book would just be us. Like, if you thought this podcast had a lot of Family Guy discussion on it, the algebra book podcast would be far more of Family Guy. So
yeah, I mean, especially since I'm pretty sure I've forgotten like all of the functions of algebra apart from maybe like add and subtract.
You know. Would we actually attempt to learn algebra if we read the book? If we read an algebra textbook?
I feel like I would, my brain would actively resist it. Do you know in the pandemic I got diagnosed with ADHD? And they say that sometimes that is that it co-occurs with a dyscalculia. So for most of my life, I've not really been able to remember numbers very well or do very much with them because my brain doesn't process them correctly. And so now I realize...
Algebra book sounds perfect for us.
Now then. I realize that actually, you know, I've got quite a bit of, you know, stuff to do with math to get me to understand what's going on there. So, you know, maybe algebra would be good for me.
It would be pretty wild. I will say though, Alejandra, and I really appreciate the very kind words. This arc of the podcast, the StarCraft Ghost Nova arc is as far as I'm concerned, this is going to be the last arc, at least maybe forever, probably, but at least for a while. But because I know that I'm kind of like ready to stop to put it gently. I'm done. I've had a good run. I've enjoyed it a lot, and I'm like, okay, cool. Let's move on.
Well, I mean, maybe it is a complete waste of our time in many ways.
It is a radical waste of time. Yes. Yeah. As much as I'm sure, doing a podcast reading an algebra book would be a thrilling smash hit. I think I'm just ready to be done, ready to just stop and do something else, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was where I came down on it. Kara, I don't know what if you were rearing up for another book.
I certainly feel like I need a break from it. I would never say totally that we shouldn't do another one, but I do feel like I need a little bit of brain time back. And I think that's just purely because my, you know, day job is so, you know, sometimes, you know, my brain is taxed a little bit by it. And so, you know, if you're doing a lot of thinking at work and designing at work, and then you have to kind of use your brain on something else during your rest time, it can be like kind of feel like you're sort of shackled to it in a way, you know?
Yeah, it's a real thing. It's great because we get to come on here and have a lot of fun, and it's a good time. But it is work. It is like doing an actual thing, and it's work for which we are not being paid or compensated in any way. It is not advancing either of our careers. It is actively, in fact, taking time away from our career time that we get to rest and recuperate from actively doing those things.
I would say, if anything, Davey, it's probably diminished our careers.
I would almost certainly.
If anyone ever, you know, wanted to do some kind of, I don't know, hagiography of our careers and lives and worth, this would be probably the lowest point for us, right? This would be the time at which we really ruined our personal reputations. So I enjoy doing
regular day jobs while doing this podcast is like training with weights, you know. you take the weights off and you're just this unstoppable force, like, oh my god, I'm so productive now.
I know. Imagine waking up on Monday morning and thinking, I no longer have to think about doing the inspirational quarterly.
God, what a blessing that'll be. Can you imagine what I'm going to do? I'm just going to spend hours and hours and hours just dreaming and, you know, laying in the grass and eating some of the grass and
We could read a non-Keith book.
You know what I'm going to do in my free time?
Yeah.
I'm going to reread StarCraft Goes Nova. It's finally free me up to sit down with my favorite book, the 2006 novel by USA Today best-selling author Keith R.A. DeCandido, StarCraft Goes Nova. And you should too, at home.
I feel like, Davey, the next time if I ever get to see you face-to-face ever again, I'm hoping that you will be reading StarCraft Goes Nova and doing all the voices.
I might be reading StarCraft Goes Nova, but I might also be reading an algebra book.
Oh, so dang. Okay.
We'll find out.
Nice.
Well, thank you very much, Alejandra, for your email. Appreciate it a lot. And glad it was such a blast for you.
Yeah, that was really that was really sweet of Alejandro. What a nice very, very email.
Sweet.
And
very, very sweet.
That was really cool. Yeah, it's weird as well to me, right? Because I feel like we have definitely spent a lot of time together over the past year.
It is weird. It is weird that I literally haven't seen you.
Yeah, we haven't seen each other's faces even.
We talk literally every week.
Yeah, about complete nonsense. Like, yeah, not really about anything that actually matters. And yeah, it's odd, right? Because it's almost like we're not allowed to talk about our real lives. It's got to be something else, which is a very interesting thing to do. But, you know, it's weird. Like, what am I going to do without my podcast husband? I definitely do talk to all my friends about some of the stupidest stuff that we talk about on the podcast. And occasionally I actually have to explain to my parents what is going on here. And I always fail to explain what the podcast is about. So,
I once hung out with a friend who was in town for a few days, and we got some drinks, and then we, you know, hung out again the next day. And, you know, and then like at some point I brought up, oh yeah, and I've been doing this podcast where I read through the entirety of StarCraft Ghost Nova with a friend. And he was like, wait, we've been hanging out for like 2 days and you haven't told me about your podcast where you read StarCraft Ghost Nova? His mind was so blown by it. Like, he couldn't believe that it wasn't the first thing I had told him. Like, oh my god, like, I haven't seen him in years, and it was like, oh my god, I'm so glad we get to hang out again. I have to tell you about this podcast I've been doing.
I mean, it's weird, right? Because it's like we didn't really put that much effort into advertising its existence either. And you know, like,
except for right there at the end, right at the end.
Right. And you know, cause we've been deliberately obtuse about this whole thing. I don't know. We just purposefully were backward about it, I guess. Actually backwards, because obviously now we're a good podcast and, we started out, you know, not at
maybe
all.
Maybe you have to end your podcast in order to be good. Like, maybe if we had decided we were going to go on to the algebra book, that somehow the podcast would have stayed shitty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like karmically or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Right.
But yeah, like I feel like, you know, we didn't really make too much effort to publicize the fact that we were doing this weird thing. And so it seems like the sort of thing that you would announce with a big fanfare online, right? But we just didn't do that. We never really talked about, you know, what was going to be in the podcast or, you know, even like what we were discussing, you know, no one. And I think as well, because it's a book related to video games, that we probably were both very wary of the fact that, like, we work in video games, so maybe it was kind of weird to attach ourselves to it. I don't know, but it's an odd, you know, it's an odd thing to start up, and we didn't tell anyone about it.
I enjoyed it. I liked that. I had a fun time letting it go completely under the radar. And if you're one of the people who's actually listening to this, you're one of the special ones.
Yeah, like it was kind of our little secret, you know?
Yeah, just us hanging out and talking about StarCraft and Family Guy.
Yeah.
All right, I want to move on to our next email here. And this is from Red Rax, who wrote us previously about the Columbo Tumblr memes.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, "Dear the Inspirational Quarterly, hi, it's me, the guy that sent you the Columbo Tumblr memes. Thanks for reading my email." And I got to say, this is me talking, this is Davey. We read that email like 3 episodes ago or something. And Red Rax was much earlier in the podcast. So the fact that we're getting this email now, it's like, Red Rax, you haven't done anything the last few weeks except listen to the Inspirational Quarterly, is what I'm getting from this.
Imagine getting it all at once. How frustrating.
God. It seems that's like the worst. I don't know. It seems like a bad version of this. Anyway, Red Rax says, "Thanks for reading my email. To answer your question, I am still listening, and I actually binged through the podcast in the last month." I'm very sorry, Red Rax.
Yeah, apologies.
"I don't like Family Guy." Me neither, Red Rax. "But I actually did enjoy the This Week in Family Guy segments, especially the episode where you analyzed the socioeconomic factors that contributed to the popularity of the show and how it stood in comparison to other contemporary sitcoms." Wow, I do not remember
that. I don't remember that either. Like, it is almost as if every single episode we recorded, I immediately forgot it. Like, someone came and, like, Men in Blacked me, you know? Like, they just did the flashy thing in front of me and my memory was completely wiped.
Is it more to do with recording a podcast during a pandemic? Or is this just happen to people who do podcasts? Like, you can't remember anything that you talked about.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I think the only other podcast that I've listened to that is, like, as deeply haphazard and chaotic as this one is the Always Sunny in Philadelphia podcast, where they try to recount each episode that they made and what they thought about it at the time. And it's just really, it's as probably less chaotic than ours, but as kind of the experience is similar, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. If we did a podcast where we tried to go back, just look at the titles of each episode of our podcast and tried to remember what we talked about on that episode, that would be a wild time.
Yeah, I mean, that would be very similar to the Always Sunny podcast for sure.
Yeah, right. Right. Red Rax goes on, "In the last episode, you also asked what happened between the start and end of the podcast. And for me, when I started listening at around this time last year, I was a dishwasher at a summer camp. Now I'm a counselor at that same camp."
Wow. Yes, congratulations. That's awesome. You got promoted.
Congratulations, Red Rax. That's awesome. And I am pretty sure that it's because of us, you know?
Yeah. I think
about it. What's different between when you were a dishwasher and when you were a counselor? You listened to the Inspirational Quarterly. That's enough evidence for me.
Yeah. I mean, we really were inspirational, if not quarterly.
We were more than quarterly and less than inspirational. So on the whole, it averages out to neutral. "I really like this podcast." It's Red Rax saying that, not me. "And it's by far the most fun I've ever had listening to a podcast, especially the AI episode. And I'm really sad to see it end. Aww. Sincerely, Red Rax." Thank you, Red Rax.
Thank you, Red Rax.
That's very, very sweet of you.
The AI episode.
Okay, that one I remember. That was the Moron Factory episode. That's where we had Malcolm simulate his possible versions of his
we were really disappointed with everything it spat out.
Yeah. Well, all of its answers were Nova just magically appears in front of you.
Yeah.
Or go undercover. the Fagans.
He went undercover.
Those are the only two options.
Right.
Well, Red Rax, I thank you so much for listening and thank you for writing us. And you know what? Set your dreams. Dream so big that one day you run the summer camp.
Yeah, you own the summer camp.
You own the summer camp. If there's one message I want all of you to take away from this podcast, it's to become the owner of the summer camp in your lives.
Indeed.
Thank you so much. It's thank you for the Columbo Tumblr memes. And it's been great having you. And we got one more email, and it's a good one. It's a good one.
I'm in suspense. Come on now.
It's from Subsurian.
Subsurian, friend of the show.
Eternal friend and soulmate of the show. We're out of the friend zone with Subsurian. It's getting heavy. We've made a commitment.
Yeah, we're like co-editing the wiki with this guy. I mean,
yeah, we're basically co-lead editors on StarCraft
Wiki. Exactly.
Subsurian says, "Hey, Davey and Kara, just finished the final episode. Congrats on finishing the book. I initially doubted Davey's coolness when he dared to try to contradict the wiki, but the minute of silence restored his coolness back. Fuck yes, I'm cool again in the eyes of Subsurian." Yes. That's all I wanted. And can I say, and Kara, I don't think you'll remember this, but this is for Subsurian now. I do remember what it was that I thought had happened, which was that I thought that it was Esmeralda Ndochi whose fate was ambiguous, but it was director Killiani whose fate was ambiguous. And that's the one who I was like, that's why I went to the pod or to the wiki thinking, oh, I'm going to contradict it. But no, I was thinking of the wrong person. I was thinking of Killiani. So I legitimately came up with an actual character in StarCraft, which is a lot for me. So,
yeah,
you know, Subsurian goes on about Space Australia. It is funny you hit on that, since the Kaprulu sector being Space Australia is a bit of a running joke in the community, since the inhabitants were descendants of convicts put on prison ships who got shot into space, and it's on the fringes of the galaxy with ultra-dangerous environments and full of rough, rugged outback survivors. I also think New Sydney, which seems to be a Keith creation that then started showing up in a bunch of places, itself was a bit of a poke at that joke. So once again, you hit on a bit of a small community meme. Fuck.
Oh,
yes,
nice.
We did.
See, we are truly part of this community, Davey.
And this is, I'm absolutely, we're pillars of the community. But I'm also going to add to notes to ask Keith, if he intended New Sydney to be based on the Australia meme.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he knew. I mean, he must be.
What did? But are you sure?
I mean, he could be like us and we just, you know, stumbled upon it one day. Just...
That's true. Like we figured it out. So why couldn't Keith have figured it out on his own?
I mean, he's smarter than us.
That's for sure. All right. Continuing on. Black market ghost suits are a thing as well. The tech behind them isn't inherently psionic, and in the sector, the private industry of mercenaries and military contractors have a massive amount of power. Powerful pirate groups like the Camaran Pirates use them for heists, for instance. In fact, a number of ghosts managed to go AWOL from the program over the years and sell their services and equipment for hire. It's just ultra rare and will cost a pretty penny.
Wow. Okay.
I don't remember. By the end of that paragraph, I already can't remember the beginning of the paragraph.
Yeah.
There's a lot in here.
I don't remember the original question, but...
I don't remember the question.
Yep.
I've already forgotten all information conveyed in that paragraph of the email.
But
thank you so much, Subsurian. You've been such a treasure on this podcast. We love having you so much. Moving on. The comment on wanting to see her time in training proved prophetic. given that this was the next thing that they ended up doing with Keith, albeit many years later and in manga form. But that's Ghost Academy, which is its own can of worms with Keith's involvement. But those books do more with Nova as a character, since she has comrades there who aren't Fagin. Can you imagine Nova interacting with humans?
Yeah,
like that's such a weird. Such a bizarre thought to me after having been through this book.
Oh my gosh! Remember when we read StarCraft Erotica?
Oh, that was an episode of the podcast
that just reminded me, because the only interactions in that were like alien to human, right? So or Terran even. So yeah, like there, you know, imagine her just like around human beings, like she would have not that much to say.
Well, the last time that she had a meaningful exchange with another human being in this podcast or in this book was the birthday party at the very beginning.
Right.
Right? She like talked to people and said just normal human being things to other human beings that weren't, I want to die, for
example.
But
then at the end of the book, she's just like, she says more lines at the end of the book than she's said for the entirety of the middle, right? Because she's there to fascinate that one guy. So, like, it's kind of weird. You know, she did turn into, like, this cold-ass killer. But, I there's a part of me that's, like, probably after they realized they were never going to make the video game, that they were like, oh, we could just give Keith the run of the place, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just let him go wild. Just let him gamble out on the grass. Like a, you know, like a little StarCraft Ghost Nova, you know, lamb or whatever.
Name a bird.
Sparrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sparrow. He's a little sparrow eating grass.
Little sparrow. Or like, you know, Antiguan buffalo, probably. More.
Ooh, like. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned from this year and a half.
I've already forgotten what we were talking about.
Right.
The commentary on trauma was interesting, since in a lot of the reevaluation of Blizzard narratives in the wake of finding out how systemic a lot of misogyny was at the company, which is just, you know, putting a little timestamp on the recording of this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of for future generations of anthropologists looking back at this podcast to, you know, study it. Just know this all took place shortly after all of Blizzard's big revelations. It's noted that extreme trauma tended to be the major way they'd shape most of their major female characters from that era.
Okay, but that is not a surprise, because that is just so common in everything.
Right. And that, especially in the video game world.
Yeah.
But in a lot of other mediums and industries too. Like it's just, that was just how so many of these major IPs behaved, treated these characters, that it's almost, you know, there's a like everyone else is doing it kind of thing, so we have to do that too. I don't know, is that how you think about it?
I mean, I think it's because I think a lot of people think of women as figures who don't indulge in violence, and I think that they keep trying to traumatize women so that they will go over the top into violence, when I mean clearly it's clearly not true. A lot of women are violent. But I think one of the things about it is that they want to find a reason for women to kind of break out of whatever mold they're in. And it's always this kind of lazy fallback of, you know, she experienced a severe trauma or something. When, you know, like, it's like, you know, Captain Hillier in Independence Day, like, he's just a great pilot. Right? He's just a good pilot. And then some aliens come along and he's like, oh, I'm going to, you know, take him down. And that's my moment of heroism. And you're just like, well, I don't know if you really need the trauma, do you? I don't think so. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I feel like for a lot of male writers, I mean, this is probably true if you mix and match a lot of types of writers and subject matter, but a lot of male characters don't know how to write female characters in a way that's realistic and, or not realistic, but like naturalistic and compelling, you know? So
I mean,
making them highly traumatized is a way of getting around having to make them feel naturalistic.
I feel every time I write a woman character, I think my main thing is to mention what it's like to have breasts all the time. Like, I think it's really important to start being like, you know, I clearly look beautiful to everyone, but I don't feel beautiful. I don't know that I'm beautiful. And, my breasts are always wobbling. And I know,
God, now that you mention it, every male character that I've written has like an entire segment of the script just talking about the length and girth of his penis.
I mean,
it's weird, actually. Now I am now putting two and two together, and I'm realizing, wow, there's a lot of description of the exact like physical heft.
I think, yeah. And, you know, it's weird how often we write about, you know, our own secondary sex characteristics when we identify with a character. I don't know. I think we're getting along here, but I think it's, I think probably this book was also, I mean, this era of games was also kind of heavily invested in a bunch of the same kind of reference materials, right? Like these same kind of sci-fi movies, the same kind of male-oriented pieces of entertainment, and so it's just replicating a lot of those kind of patterns. Mm-hmm. It's lengthy.
Yeah. More recently, the writing for Nova has tried to move away from that and focus more on the questions of her worldview and the morality of trying to make a better universe as a living weapon. But this book was kind of pointed to as an example of that older mindset, as it was basically just Nova's trauma, the novel. Partially, I do think it was intentional, given the angle they seemed to want to go in Ghost was having Nova confront the trauma that she tried to ease when a substance is able to undo her memory wipes. But given we only have a modified novelization of the Ghost story, it still comes across as a bit odd.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's an aspect of this story that was completely preset for Keith, and he basically had to walk down that path the best he saw fit. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think that this is a product of, you know, Keith, you know, structuring this book wrongly. I think most of it is just like, this is the game they were making, you know?
There's no winning that.
No.
Right? You're like, okay, all right, Keith. Hey Keith, welcome to the team. So glad to have you. Here's our character Nova. She's in the video game. She is from a wealthy, privileged family. And in the video game, she's a mindless psychopathic killer.
Yeah.
However you want to do that, okay? It's up to you, you know. Go nuts with it, you know.
Yeah.
Get wild in there. However you want, but you, as long as you bridge those two pieces, that's all we need from you. All right, big guy, get in there.
That is otherwise known as the Tomb Raider problem, right? Isn't it?
I mean,
how do you get is there? I mean, wealthy background, how do you make her into a psychotic killer of rare endangered animals? Like that, that's hard, right? Like she's the kid outside, you know, pulling the wings off of flies. Like that's what that is, you know.
Didn't the Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider just start with like she's just a badass and just shoots things for fun? Like I don't even remember it bothering with why is she like this. Maybe it did and I just forgot, but
I mean
I remember it just being like Angelina just shows up and she's like, oh, I love, and then murders a tiger or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I liked that. I thought that, you know, the movie otherwise was pretty terrible, but I thought that she was very good at being Lara Croft. And so I appreciated that. I liked that she would just like carefree. I mean, I always thought that the original Tomb Raider explained it pretty well. Like her parents died in a plane crash. She survived by herself when she was a kid in a jungle for a little while and then started to kind of be interested in going back to that kind of environment and exploring and all that stuff. And so I thought that was a kind of adequate explanation for like a game that came out in 1997. But I really enjoyed the fact that she was, you know, like a wink, wink, nod, nod kind of Ladette era woman who just did stuff by herself. And I think the more advanced we got with the Tomb Raider narrative, the more we went into like, oh, she needs like six other people to support her. And she needs, you know, love interests, and, you know, she needs a dad, and she needs a, you know, and there's like a bunch of this stuff where you're just like, why can't she just like be a psycho? Like, why can't she just be a psycho?
Let Lara Croft be a psycho. Hashtag.
Yes, she should have a sense of humor and be a psycho. And like, well, all I want to know is, can I just be a woman and have something wrong with me?
Could I have a beer with Lara Croft?
Yes, that's what I want. I want to tell a filthy joke with her. I want to sit around and, you know, I want to graffiti stuff and, you know, just vandalize things. Like, that's what I do want from her.
Could I do a beer bong with Lara Croft?
Yes, you know? She would do one. I mean,
she would. Lara Croft would for sure do a beer bong. Wait, would Nova do a beer bong?
I think Nova would do a beer bong. Yes, of course.
I think Nova would do a beer bong. Garth Duke would definitely do a beer bong.
He's the king of beer bong.
Garth Duke is already doing a beer bong before you've even offered it.
Right.
Would Handy Anderson do a beer bong?
It's a good question. I think that Handy Anderson abstains.
I like that.
Because
I feel good about that.
Yeah, because he seems
sharpens his mind.
Yeah, he seems like that guy is like a complete control freak, you know. He doesn't like to be out of control for like 1 second, you know?
Yeah, totally. Fagin would do a beer bong for sure.
Yeah, he likes the substances, right?
Would Constantino do a beer bong?
I think he would do it. Well, he probably doesn't like beer. I think he likes liquor.
But would he?
I think in a twist he would.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would be like his first choice of activity.
He would resent it.
Yeah, he would.
But he would keep up appearances.
Here's the thing. If Nova asked him, he would do it.
I like that. I like that. Yeah. All right. Subsurian goes on. Let's see. What do we got? To answer the last part of the podcast, looking back on the start of your podcast in February 2021, I bought a house and a car. Go you, Subsurian. And got a dog and finished 2 yearly rereads of the entire canon of StarCraft books, games, and comics.
Wow! Oh my god, what a legend! You had time to buy a house in there? Crazy.
I debated bugging you when I got through all of Ghost Nova between the podcasts doing 2 pages, but that seemed mean.
That is so funny. I was pretty sure,
I love it.
I was pretty sure someone listening was gonna do that. They were gonna read it in a week and then be like, why are you guys taking so long?
You're like you're like when they let normal people get into like an F1 car to try to drive it and just fail miserably, and then it cuts to the actual pros like speeding around the track or whatever. That's who we're the ones in the F1 car, just like
So one time I climbed up Kilimanjaro, and it was a very low. Like slow, long process because it's a tough mountain to climb. But then when you're walking up, like when you're hiking up that mountain, there are a bunch of Sherpas who just like skip and hop past you.
Right.
And it's like, do it like, they do it like four or five times.
Leap over you.
Yeah, they do like four, because they've got these giant lung capacities, right? So the like altitude doesn't bother them at all. And so I felt like very similar when I was doing that, where I was like, I am a complete imbecile and these people amazing. So yeah, that's Subsurian. He's hopping up Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Subsurian. Thank you for Sherpaing up Mount Kilimanjaro.
You Sherpa'd us so many times.
Yeah. he's just coming back up and down the mountain. The podcast also appeared 4 months after they stopped updating StarCraft. The only published work related to StarCraft in the time the podcast ran was a Nova story named Nature of the Beast, which I'm not convinced isn't a coincidence.
No way. That's so cool. We are clearly in control of the entire universe, Davey.
If they don't use it, this is how copyright works. If they don't use it, then it's ours.
Right.
If we can prove to a judge that we're doing more for the StarCraft lore than Blizzard is, we get to keep it.
I mean, this is further proof we should be in charge of all things.
Subsurian goes on. Also, I've devised a plan to get your theories into StarCraft canon. Yes, this is what I wanted.
Yes.
As you probably know, Stanley Parable had a successful announcer pack for Dota 2. That's true. I did know that. So, Davey can come to Blizzard as the creator of the legendary USA Today best-selling game Stanley Parable, also true, was USA Today bestseller, and offer to make an announcement. No, that's not true.
I really want that to be true.
Oh, but if that was true, then when Keith comes on, it would be two USA Today bestsellers and whatever you are. So, you know,
it would be unfair
to you. Yeah, but Kara, USA Today. Okay.
No, I didn't even get an endorsement from Mike Stucka.
That's true. All I'm just saying is you and I are going to be on equal footing when we go up against Keith.
Okay.
So I go to Blizzard as the creator of legendary USA Today best-selling game Stanley Parable and offer to make an announcer pack for StarCraft. Then, instead of things relevant to the game, you pull off the cover at the last second, reveal it's an inspirational quarterly announcer pack, and the entire pack is just you and Kara stating now canonical facts about Garth Duke and Tegan Buffalo Meat, the Tarsana's bus system, and Family Guy trivia. This is a surefire plan that can't go wrong.
That is amazing. What a good plan. I think we should do that.
All I have to do is ingratiate myself with one of the most not well-to-do video game companies in the industry.
Yeah, and then immediately shit the bed with them.
I mean, but I do have to do the first part. I do have to do the first part of it.
Right.
If they... I need to get in the door before I poop in the lobby.
But like, right? Maybe, can you imagine Polygon trying to explain what had transpired? Like, first of all, they would have to explain the podcast.
Yeah.
And then they would have to explain Subsurian. And then they would have to explain the Stanley Parable. And then they would have to explain why you did that. I mean,
This is the kind of subject matter that people create true crime podcast like miniseries about.
Right.
You know, like a boutique series of a podcast where the first episode they're like, when I began researching this, I had no idea the crazy rabbit hole that I was getting myself into, you know? The StarCraft wiki, Stanley Parable, the Family Guy trivia, it just kept getting weirder and weirder.
Yeah. Like, we're like basically breadcrumbing one of the weirdest conspiracies of all time.
Yes. Yes. That's it. That's exactly it. I love it. Because it really does. If you just like read out the bullet points of all of this, it really is like the stupidest set of bullet points of all time.
Yeah.
Subsurian, it's a perfect plan. It's flawless. I promise you, and this is a promise to every single person listening to this podcast, I will make Family Guy canonical in the StarCraft universe. So.
Damn.
If you think about it, StarCraft is set on Earth, so Family Guy is inherently canonical.
Yeah, it could have happened in the past, so therefore it still could.
Did happen in the past because this is Earth,
so. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
If Charles Dickens canonically exists in StarCraft, then by natural extension, Family Guy canonically exists in StarCraft. I don't make the rules. That's just how time works.
The way it is. Does that mean that we both exist in the StarCraft universe?
Yes. Well, it means that the Inspirational Quarterly exists in the StarCraft universe.
So therefore, we should be making the inspirational quarterly in the next Blizzard game. Because
we are making it inherently.
But I mean we should be in Blizzard games now because we are canon.
Why are we trying to get into Blizzard? This is the stupidest. We should not be trying to get into Blizzard.
I mean, I don't want to be paid for my time. I just want to be annoying on their video games. Is it too much to ask?
All right. If anyone from Blizzard is listening and wants to insert our podcast into the next piece of canonical Blizzard material, but doesn't want to pay us, we're here.
I mean, it would be like the most bizarre thing that ever happened, but sure.
What if they do that and then insert us into fucking Diablo or something? Could you imagine?
Yeah, because like, wait, so they just put out like another Diablo, didn't they? And it's like a pay to win situation?
There's a whole thing there. Yeah.
What if you could pay to get us to narrate
Carrot, you think about this the wrong way. It starts by playing the inspirational quarterly,
and then you have to
constantly
pay for the removal
to get it out of there.
Of
exactly.
Of course. Perfect.
Far more profitable.
Us like wittering on about nothing in particular. Yeah. Ruining everything.
Exactly. Perfect. exactly Subsurian concludes, this podcast has been a blast and really enjoyed your wild tangents. Thanks for humoring me with my StarCraft lore deep dives and excited to see what you all do from here. Subsurian, we couldn't have done it without you. And I mean that in the most literal sense of the word.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing life, love, joy, harmony, connection, and a sense of peace to this podcast. If any of those things were present, it was all you and none of us.
Live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love, which is the other thing I want everyone to take away from this podcast. I did mention that I had asked an AI to write a little bit of the ending, a little bit more of the ending of the book. Would you like to?
Yes.
Would you like to dig into that?
Please.
All right. So what I did was I rewrote most of the like ending of the book, the last few chapters. And I... What?
I'm in the mainframe. Hello. It's me again. Famous British actor and part-time amateur hacker, Michael Caine. And I'm back on the Inspirational Quarterly. I hacked into the mainframe because it's been too long. And we need a little antagonism in this podcast again. I couldn't do without coming in and fucking with my least favorite podcast of all time. I've listened to all podcasts. I've ranked them. And this one's my least favorite. I hate it the most of all of them.
Mr. Kane, what is your grudge?
It's your bad impressions of me. You make me sound like a fucking idiot. Every time, I think to myself, I don't sound like that. I'm famous British actor Michael Caine. And it really roils my nuttles.
You're what?
It's a thing we British people say. It roils my nuttles.
Nuttles?
It gets me knickers all fired up. That's another British saying that we have in Britain.
Fired up? Like on, on fire?
It's a thing we say in Britain.
Right.
Anyway, this is the part of the podcast called Michael Caine Spoils StarCraft Ghost Nova. And this is where I flip ahead to a page of the book ahead of where you are, and I spoil a section of the book that you haven't read yet.
A section of the book.
Yes.
Okay.
Well done. it's time for me, Michael, good old Michael Caine, to flip ahead to a page of the book that you haven't read yet, and I'm going to spoil it for you.
Okay.
All right, here we go. This is from page 266. O'Neill raised an arm. The man held up his hands, but kept walking forward. Hey, I don't want no trouble. Just want to know what the flick. As soon as he got within 10 meters of this Fagin Person's building, O'Neill fired a dozen rounds from his wrist cannon into the intruder, who fell to the ground in a bloody heap. People started running away after that. Esmeralda smiled. Although she had a thing for carnage, sometimes just one death did the trick properly. Luckily for her, the Marines had provided her with opportunities for both. On holstering her P-500, which she'd used to kill quite a number of Zerg these past few weeks, Esmeralda shot a hole into the front door control and then kicked the now useless door in with her armored boot. Whoa, there you have it. I've just spoiled page 266 of StarCraft Ghost Nova. Now all the suspense and the surprise is all ruined, and it's thanks to me, Michael Caine. Ha 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 ha.
Thank you, Mr. Caine.
Are you burning with rage in the inside? Is your knickers been broiled?
Oh, my knickers have been broiled. Yes, they're broiling right now.
Does it hurt to know that the surprise of page 266 would never surprise you like that ever again?
I mean, you have ruined the whole book for me. I mean, it's...
That's all I wanted to hear. That's all I wanted to hear. I'm victorious. I did it. It's everything I ever wanted. I finally feel successful in life. All my old incredible acting accomplishments pale before this one.
Well, you know, I'm glad to make you happy, Mr. Caine. You know, I just want to salute
you. Call me Sir Michael.
Sir Michael, you know, I think your hacking skills alone are extremely, I mean, I'm just impressed by, you know, your ability to use a modem from 1995 to hack us. So
I'll be honest. I had my nephew set it up for me.
Okay. Well, you know, say hello to him.
I won't. Don't love him.
Oh. Okay.
It's a thing we have.
Are his knickers broiled?
His knickers is never broiled. That's what I hate about him so much. Most even-tempered, calm-headed kid of all time. Fucking grow up a little bit. Get angry. Lose your temper. Be a fucking human being for once in your life. That's what I'm always telling him. But nothing. Just sits there at his computer all day, hacking. Good for nothing.
Is he... A straight edge? Like, does he work for a security company? What's happening there?
He works for Greenpeace, making happy around the world. And I'll tell him.
He hacked for Greenpeace. Grow up. Incredible. Incredible scenes. Stickers are not broiled.
He hacks, but he hacks for good. I hate it.
He hacked.
Hack for bad, hack for bad like your Uncle Michael Caine.
Hack for whales.
More like heck the whales. That's what I'm always saying. But he don't get the joke.
Well, yeah. That's sad.
He's too dumb.
Wow.
I gotta get back. I'm gonna try and piss him off again today. I've taken a shit. Is sort of all of his shirts, all of his t-shirts. I'm gonna see if this one gets him. This one's sure to really do it over on him. His natals is gonna be all unkebumpled after this. That's another saying we have in Britain. This has been Michael Caine. This has been the villain of StarCraft, of the inspirational quality, Michael Caine. The only villain that you have on this podcast, and I have to go now. But it's been a pleasure to hack you and to make your podcast suck ass. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night.
See you later.
Oh, wow.
Davey, are you there?
I'm so speechless, you know, from the fact that Michael Caine, the real Michael Caine, was on our podcast, that I'm sorry I wasn't there to back you up.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, he's spoiled his movies for me now. I don't know if I can really, I can't even watch the Italian Job without thinking
he's
about
a really,
him taking a shit on some t-shirts.
He's just a bad guy. He's a bad person.
A bad guy.
He really roils my knickers, you know? Yeah. Like, it's just, it's, he, yeah.
I mean, I should tell BAFTA that he...
I would appreciate that if you would let them know just, like, what a dick he is. Oh, and to his nephew, too.
I'm going to send him an email right now saying, Michael Caine, did you know Michael Caine is the dick? You know?
Yeah. I'd appreciate that because it would be...
You've been taking shit in his grandson's t-shirts for years now.
Can we get cancel culture on this guy? Can we get cancel culture on fucking Michael Caine? I'd appreciate that if all the Zoomers listening would start doing.
Yeah,
that.
I think the Zoomers need to, the Zoomer army needs to rise up against Michael Caine.
All right, let's see, before I was very rudely interrupted by Michael Caine, I was saying that I took the last few pages of the book and inserted it into the AI system that we used before. I have to say, I was a little underwhelmed by the results. And it's funny because I ran this simulation a couple of times and the AI didn't know where to go with it.
Like, let's just summarize what the beats were.
So Nova infiltrates the factory, kills and arrests all the people, all the terrorists that have taken over it. And then Esmeralda Ndochi shows up. Nova's like, I did it. And Nova's like, hey, have we met before? But then she doesn't care because she can't remember. And she's like, all I gotta do is take out the enemies of the Terran Dominion.
Yeah.
Right? And that's her deal.
Yeah.
And the AI just did not know what to do. Like, that note, the last line is, it was all Nova ever thought about. The AI was like, bro, that's the end of the book. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Like,
AI was like, this is the end.
That is the end. And it's amazing because I legitimately went back to, like, look if there was something that was like a formatting thing that was cluing it. But no, that the AI got it. It was all Nova ever thought about. That's the end of the book. So all it did was it just, like, would insert a line break and then start a new, like, the next adventures of Nova.
Oh.
Right?
And what are the next adventures?
Well, so I'll read you one. This is, there's like a break. And then it goes, what are we doing here? Nova asked. Ellis Merelda rolled her eyes. We've been here 3 times today already, and I don't think we have anything else to do. Nova nodded. They were standing in front of the New California Institute, which had a special program for gifted children. In fact, Nova herself attended the school as a child. She was supposed to be here to get some information from one of her old teachers. She looked around at the other students walking by. There was a boy with 2 heads, a girl whose skin glowed purple, and a girl who walked on her hands. This place is weird, she said. Yeah, well, so are you, Esmeralda replied. Classic Esmeralda.
Wait, is this a teen drama now? This is awesome.
It's like teen X-Men drama.
Amazing.
They went into the institute, where they found Professor Yegorov. I like that the AI takes Professor X and makes him Professor Y.
Professor Y. Nice.
Professor Yegorov sitting behind his desk. He smiled when he saw them. Hello, Nova. Hello, Major. Nova gave him a curt nod. How can I help you? Yegorov motioned toward a chair. Please sit down. Nova sat. What do you want to know? Yegorov leaned forward in his chair. You're going to need to know what happened to your father, Nova. Nova sighed. So everyone keeps telling me. Her father, Admiral Edward B. Terra, had disappeared during the war. No one knew where he'd gone or why. The Empire hadn't given any information about it either. In fact, No one really knew anything about Nova's parents, except that they were rich, influential people. Nova remembered how her mother would often talk about them and how much she missed her husband. And that's kind of where I stopped, because I was just, I don't know, I just had only so many credits on the AI thing.
Okay. Well,
so I like that it made Edward Nova's father in this.
Yeah.
That's an enjoyable touch.
Edward B. Tara.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be interested in like a kind of, you know, teen drama version, but I mean, I feel like it's a lot jollier than the novel we got.
Yeah, a slightly different tone, huh?
Yeah, a little different. But nonetheless, well done, AI.
I like the idea that Nova is this hyper elite, super cold, badass killer in the teen drama. Like, everyone around her is playing a part of the, like, you know, teen drama / supernatural children type of thing. And she's just over here, like, being kind of a bitch about it all.
Yeah, she's, you know, like the school bully.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. So, you know, I feel like the AI struggled a little bit there.
Yeah.
It had a little bit of a tough time sort of wringing more juice out of the fruit that Keith already squeezed with such a Herculean grip. But there's something else that the AI was much better at.
What?
I wrote a prompt for the AI, and here's the prompt that I wrote and I gave the AI. Everybody Knows Jack is the hit sitcom that has taken the world by storm. The main character is Detective Jack Pembleton, who's a detective in the Tarsanis police force, solving crimes all over Tarsanis. But what none of the other cops know is that Jack is secretly a robot and has no idea how to do police work. This wacky TV show depicts the various adventures of Jack as he fumbles his way through one criminal investigation after another, doing his best to pretend to be both a real cop and a human being. And from time to time, he manages to solve a case all on his own. The most beloved episode of the entire series is episode 7 of season 3, Jack's Big Whoopsie. In this episode... And then I let the AI take over.
Okay.
Now, this is where the AI actually knew what to do. This one, the AI was like, Davey, I got you. Here. I'll read you one or two of what it came up with. The most beloved episode of the entire series is episode 7 of season 3, Jack's Big Whoopsie. In this episode, Jack finds himself stuck in an alternate reality where he was never born. He spends several episodes trying to find his way back home, until finally, at the end of the episode, he gets home just in time for dinner with his family. It's a touching moment when he reunites with his wife and son, but it also ends up having some pretty hilarious consequences. At the very end of the episode, we see that Jack has been replaced by a robot duplicate. We don't actually see the robot, but we can assume that it looks exactly like him, because the robot does everything Jack would have done if he had been there. In the next episode, Jack Goes Home, we learn why Jack went missing. He was kidnapped by aliens. They took him to their planet and made him into a new member of their race, which they call humans. Now he's living on a different planet, working for them as a robot policeman.
So wild.
So when Jack comes back home, he doesn't realize that he's been replaced by a robot duplicate. Instead, he thinks he's still the same person as before. So he goes about his business without any problem. Until he realizes that he's got a robot double running around town acting just like him. Then he starts getting really confused and even starts to doubt whether or not he's really a real person. I'm sure you're wondering how Jack ever figures out that he's been replaced by a robot. Well, in the last episode of the season, Jack Confused, we get our answer. The The episode begins with Jack talking to his robot double. He says, "You've gotta be kidding me." And then he punches the robot, knocking it off balance and sending it crashing to the ground. That's when he realizes that he's been replaced by a robot. The robot double picks itself up, and Jack says, "Hey, I know that guy. You're a robot, a copy of me." The robot replies, "No, no, no, you're a robot too." And then they start arguing about whether or not robots are people and if they're allowed to vote. It's a very funny argument, but ultimately, the robot double convinces Jack that he's right and that robots are indeed people. After that, they become friends, and the robot doubles start helping Jack solve crimes.
So, I love that, like, the ultimate thing that you can do when you're human is be allowed to vote. That's the ultimate achievement of the human rights.
I like to imagine that the discussion about robots being allowed to vote is most of an entire episode of the show.
Should robots vote?
That's the episode Jack Confused.
Yeah, like it sounds like, you know, some arbitrary question they get like stuck on where like it's like, should pigeons wear hats? You know, like kind of deal. Yeah. And I also really enjoy the fact that like these episodes are like, you know, like a really bizarre version of WandaVision or something.
They're not that far off from an actual episode of television, you know, is kind of what's weird. It's uncanny
or something, yeah. Where it's like with all these body doubles and thing. I don't know. That's amazing.
I just wanted to revisit Everybody Knows Jack because I loved that bit from when we talked about that so much.
Yeah, because we were like, no one likes this guy, but everyone knows him.
Yeah. Right. I thought the AI did a pretty good. There was another one where Jack accidentally finds himself in the possession of an ancient artifact called the Tarzan Eye. After putting it on, he discovers that he can see into the future, and not just any old future, but his own future. He learns that he will eventually commit a terrible crime and then get away with it. But how? After consulting with his fellow detectives, Jack realizes there must be some way for him to stop himself from committing the crime in question. Unfortunately, they're unable to think of anything. So Jack decides to go ahead and commit the crime anyway, and we'll just have to wait and see if he gets away with it or not. Okay. In the meantime, the AI goes on. In the meantime, fans of Everybody Knows Jack can enjoy this new collection of episodes, which features an all-new commentary track from the actors and writers of the show.
Oh, shit. Nice.
Yeah. But look forward to that.
I love when that
Everybody
commentary.
Knows Jack hits DVDs around in your Blockbuster. By the way, this is basically just the plot of Minority Report now. So, probably we know what the AI is drawing on there.
Yeah.
I hope Jack gets away with it. Yeah. I hope he gets away with whatever crime.
I mean, I hope he heinously murders like 6 people and gets away with it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. What if he murders his robot double? But it's because robots are allowed to vote, they're considered humans, so it's a murder. It's a real human murder.
It's like, yeah, vote for this, and then he kills him.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as a robot tries to vote, it's a crime to kill the robot.
Yeah.
Which is a loophole that robots have been using to get out of being killed for ages.
It's like, you know. And
someone needs to patch up this loophole in the system.
Both robots and Republicans hate voter fraud, so.
Yeah.
They're just.
One weird trick. Yeah. Robots and Republicans hate him.
Hate him, yeah.
And he is Jack Pendleton.
Yeah.
well that's the AI. That's the AI coming up with as much as it could.
Well, so
it did its best.
It did a good job.
Kara, how do you feel about a little what kind of lightning round here?
Oh no.
I just I thought, well, no. Actually, I know what that sound in your voice means, and that's not at all what I was going to do. I was legitimately going to ask, like, who's your favorite character in StarCraft Ghost Nova?
My favorite character. I like our guy. Who is that guy who was like the total dick at the academy? Like, I'm into that guy.
Wow, he really left an impression.
I mean, yeah, I forgot his name. Was his name like Billy?
Shitty Billy?
Yeah, Shissy Billy. Like,
okay, I love that your favorite character is a character who's not in the book.
That, yeah, we made him up, I guess.
I know. I did say your favorite character from StarCraft Ghost Nova. And you're like, oh, yeah, the dude
the
who isn't in the book.
The one we completely made up.
The one we made up.
You know, I have a lot of fondness for Mal. Like, I just like him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't like him. I can say it here now at the end. I don't like him.
Dang.
No.
I think it's just like that. I feel like he's an anchor for a lot of the plot, even though he literally doesn't do anything. And I think that our familiarity with him.
He does have the plot momentum of a literal anchor. Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's like a literal tent pole for the plot. the canvas hangs thinly off of him.
So Malcolm, favorite character?
I guess so. I mean, I would have said the cat, but we didn't get to see very much of the cat.
Well, that's not going to stop me from my answer, because my answer is probably Jeffrey, and I don't think we saw any of Jeffrey.
No,
at all
of course your favorite is Jeffrey. We have so many questions about Jeffrey.
I know. I love that Jeffrey came back at the end. Hell yeah. That was great. And also, I got to shout out our boy Garth Duke. Love him.
Love Garth.
Live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love.
There's never been a human being that embodied live, laugh, love more than Garth Duke, I don't think, in all of human history.
Yeah, I mean, there's Skeletor, but like, he's not real, but Garth is.
Garth Duke is real. Favorite scene from StarCraft Ghost Nova?
Favorite scene. God, this one is hard. I think my favorite was like the one where like the two guys are stuck inside the force field.
Ah, yes.
guarding the thing, and they can't go to the bathroom, and they're just stuck in the force field until Fagin decides he wants to leave.
That's a pretty good one. I like that one.
Yeah.
I like that one. Maybe this is just because it happened recently, but there's something so hilarious to me about Malcolm sitting watching Nova, like in his stupid chair, stupid floating chair, and like Mengsk comes and talks to him, and he's just like sitting there in this academy for no reason, just watching Nova.
It's
phenomenally creepy.
Yeah,
but there is something so. Like, it's the most Malcolm thing. It's why I hate him, but it is also just so hilariously him.
He's like a sad guy, basically.
You know, he's the saddest human being. He's if Garth Duke is live, laugh, love, Malcolm's thing is hate, scowl, die. Right. Like, that's exactly what he's doing up there.
Yeah, for sure. Then I also like what else did I really enjoy?
Wait, no. Sorry, I take my answer back. My favorite scene in the whole book is the birthday party.
Yep. Yeah, it is. It was good, wasn't it? We got a lot out of it.
Remember the birthday party?
I know.
Do you remember? We spent like a fucking month talking about the birthday party.
There's a lot of world building in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
So that's actually pretty impressive, I think.
But we did milk it. We did really milk it.
Do you think that's because Keith himself spent the most time writing the opening of his book and then sped through the rest of it.
Or it's kind of like, you know how some video game developers design their levels in reverse so that the first level in the game is the one that they've made with the most experience?
Yeah, which I always recommend. Maybe, yes.
Maybe Keith wrote this novel in reverse so that the start would be the best and like really hook you in.
Yeah.
You know, like word by word, he wrote it backwards.
Maybe. From the end. Yeah.
That's entirely possible.
Yep.
What's your favorite name in StarCraft Ghost Nova?
Favorite name?
Here's another one where Shitty Billy would be great.
Yeah, but like, I just really enjoy the fact that all the gangs, like all the like, you know, like criminal henchmen type names are all stuff like Jeff and Barry, you know?
Yeah, like, I think Terrence was a good, that was a really good criminal underlord.
Terrence, yeah. There's like a bunch of like really like just, you know, mediocre white men names that all the criminals have, which I really enjoyed. I had a good time with those. I think they were like the best naming conventions, at least, you know. But yeah.
Well, there's also just a law of big numbers where there are so many names in this book that inevitably you're going to stumble across a couple bangers.
Yeah.
Right? So what's your favorite death in the book?
Favorite death? I like that the big muscly guy got exploded. That was cool.
I was actually thinking about the pitcher. The pitcher was there for me for sure.
But I mean, the pitcher was like really built up, right? Like as in like we had a lot of like contemplation about what might happen to him.
Yeah.
And then he finally got his comeuppance. So yeah.
Yeah.
That was
a good one. Yeah. I liked that one. Also, good name. The pitcher? What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
I guess technically,
you know, getting blown up.
Yeah, Constantino's death is like impressive. You know, he took the
and
whole
also
room
at
with
the
him.
End, and also at the end when Nova busts in on that dude in the bunker, and she's like, "Your parents hate you" or something, and then she's like, "Can you give me my family back?" And he's like, "I don't think so."
And she kills him.
And then she kills him.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I'm not sure, but I don't think I can."
I know, for the equivalent of like, you know, busting in on someone, you know, in the toilet and you just like executing them. It's like not, you're not prepared. You should at least get like, you know, an Alan Rickman death or like a Sean Bean death. You know what I mean? Like a like a scene. Mm. But it was more like, they just, you know, that guy in the toilet in Jurassic Park, you know, that was the equivalent, I think.
Oh man, yeah. Like what's the dude in the toilet from Jurassic Park equivalent in this book?
Okay,
I've already said it, but I'm just gonna say it again. I think it's Jeffrey.
Yeah, it's Jeffrey.
I think it's Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Jeffrey's, and maybe we can work this into the StarCraft wiki somehow. Canonically, Jeffrey was using the toilet when the explosion went off.
Yeah.
You know?
He probably
I'm just
was.
Saying, like, it's entirely possible. Like,
I mean,
you know, he's got that IBS that he's been working through.
With his luck, it would, you know.
It would be very like Keith to give one of the terrorists IBS that acts up in the middle of like pulling off their big terrorist thing,
you know, which may have saved his life if in fact he had been luckier, but Jeffrey is not lucky.
No, it's the opposite of
like he briefly considered going downstairs to use the loo, but instead he took the left-hand path and went to the upstairs loo, which then led to his demise.
No. Or yeah, he's like holding it because this time he's gonna you know, try be a big enough man to stick with it.
Yeah.
Or something. And like that's what gets him killed.
Right.
Yeah. Bless his name. Bless his good, beautiful heart.
Oh.
What's your favorite of our jokes from this series inserted into the book that was not actually there in the book?
Butt stuff Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, butt stuff Sherlock Holmes was great.
I enjoyed Shitty Billy.
I love Shitty Billy.
Yeah, lots of love for Shitty Billy.
Shitty Billy lives, laughs, loves. That's for sure.
Yeah, Garth Duke's windmilling penis. Like that.
A big favorite for me is the party buses. Honestly.
Yeah, the buses. I was gonna say the buses.
I think the buses are maybe my favorite
whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they ignite the imagination as to what kind of world you're living in, right? So
it's also just it's such a ambient piece of scenery. It's just it can be happening all the time in the background behind literally every single scene in the book.
Yeah.
You know. I love that it can work its way into everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. What else? I think that's it, really. I mean, I feel like we invented a lot of stuff. I mean, I guess we talked about, you know, Family Guy being part of the universe, which probably wasn't fun for our listeners, but I guess we indulged it a little bit.
We did spend a brief period of time discussing Family Guy. Yeah. And I will say this. There were a lot of people out there who I think disliked that Family Guy segments a lot. But there were one or two people out there who have told us they did actually enjoy the Family Guy segments. And for those people, there is just one single thing I want to say to you right now. That's right. It's time for one last episode of This Week in Season 10 of Family Guy. One more. Oh, and this is it.
Okay.
This is the last one. I watched the season finale of season 10 of Family Guy. I watched the very last one here at the very last moment of this podcast because I thought that seemed appropriate. And it was so nothing. Like, I wanted to go out on a really big note, and this was the flattest, wimpiest fart of an episode for this segment to go out on, in an almost maybe an appropriate way as to the impact that Family Guy has left on this show. I'll say that I have a couple things to say about this. First off, there is a recurring segment. There's a recurring sequence on Family Guy where Peter Griffin fights a giant chicken. Are you familiar with this?
Yes, I am familiar with the giant chicken.
Okay. In the first three seasons of Family Guy, Peter Griffin spends like a third of an episode just fighting the giant chicken in a long battle. And at the time, it was this very like, it was funny because no network sitcom spends a third of the episode on one single gag. Like, it was actually pretty subversive at the time. The giant chicken fight has since been done 8 times in the history of Family Guy, which I do think reduces its impact a little bit.
I mean, the third time should be the last.
The that even if you're three. even going to three is a lot.
Yeah, right? I agree. I but need it, to have a lot of space between those events too.
Yeah. And so this episode that I watched did contain a giant chicken fight. It did take about a third of the episode. And having already seen the giant chicken fight multiple times, the fact that this one episode of television took so much of its time to rehash a thing which is neither interesting nor new nor especially funny.
That's
apt. Did give me a bit of reflection on the role that Family Guy played in our podcast, being a diversion away from the actual main plot of the show to do something that has already been done many times before, that perhaps was funny the first time, but the eighth time has lost its charm and just needs to be killed.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? Yeah, that is Family Guy. Season 10 of Family Guy is the giant chicken of the Inspirational Quarterly, is kind of what I'm getting to in a roundabout way.
Yeah. But also, the giant chicken is the Family Guy of Family Guy. Is that right?
No, Family Guy is the Family Guy of Family Guy.
Yeah, Family Guy is a Family Guy of Family Guy. So
the role that Family Guy has played in the Inspirational Quarterly is the same role that Family Guy plays in Family Guy.
Yeah, and in everyone's lives.
Yeah, and I refuse to explain further. And then after the giant chicken fight, the remainder of the episode is this is one of the serious episodes, right? Where they're like, we're going to actually pretend that these characters are real people who go through real things like getting divorced. And probably has the most unjustified narrative arc, like emotional character development arc of maybe any piece of media I've ever seen in my entire life.
Wow. What happens?
Okay. Do you want me to describe it? Like, I don't have to, but because it's a whole thing, but do you want me to?
Okay. Go on. Tell me.
All right. Really quick. Joe is a cop in the show and he has his wife named Bonnie. And he has some really big drug bust, but for some reason she's not happy with him. And then they get into a big fight. And then they're like, we're getting divorced. And it's never explained why they're getting divorced or what they're upset about or anything. They're just like, we're getting divorced. And then Peter and Lois Griffin recreate the moment where the two of them met at a strip club. And literally the two of them just walk in the door at the strip club and go, I forgive you. We love each other. And they just get together and they just get into each other's arms and the episode fucking ends.
What?
Holy shit. It's so, there's not like, you're not even missing details of the arc that I'm like not clarifying for you. Like that literally just is how it resolves. Is they just walk in the door and see each other and then they're like, we're not getting divorced. That's, oh my God, it's the worst show on television.
Wow, that is really weird.
And then it ends and that's the whole season of season 10 of Family
that
Guy.
That makes no sense and is also does not sound entertaining.
This episode diverted onto plot lines that had nothing to do with the story, then became totally emotionally devoid, went nowhere, and didn't resolve, and just kind of ended. Which,
on the bright side,
couldn't be a better analog for the Inspirational Quarterly.
On the bright side, the writers on that show will get to do another job apart from Family Guy. So, congratulations to them.
Congratulations to them, and thank all of you at home for listening to this week in season 10 of Family Guy. It's been an honor and a pleasure. and I hope I served you well in this act of investigative journalism that rivals only that of Mike Stucca's.
Yeah, thank you, Mike Stucca.
Thank you, Mike Stucca. That's it. That's all I got. I don't have anything else. I wrote a bunch of stuff down and I'd said all of it. I went through everything that I had. I don't have anything else.
I guess the Inspirational Quarterly is almost over.
I guess it's almost over. I guess we're kind of getting to the end now. We've got one more episode. We're going to have Keith on and we're going to talk to him. But yeah, that's it. Like once we end this episode, it's just Keith to carry us home, cradle us in his arms and walk us over the finish line.
I feel weird about this.
I know. Well, we don't have to hit stop recording, you know. We could just leave it rolling, you know?
Okay.
Just kind of never get off the call and then it doesn't end, you know?
Yeah.
We could do that.
But I need the bathroom, though.
Do you need a bathroom?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then let's end the episode.
Okay. Bye.
So you can go to the bathroom. All right. Good. Don't get eaten or shot while you're in the bathroom.
Okay. What if Jeffrey's there?
Wait for him. He's had a rough day.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for all your emails. Thank you for all your love. And you've been a blast.
Yeah, you've all been amazing. And like, we enjoyed so many of the criminals who sent us emails.
You are the best criminals that two podcast hosts could ask for.
Best criminals.
Best criminals 2022.
And 21.
And 21, but not 2020. No. All right. We'll see you on the next one for Keith. And until then, the only thing I can think to say is thanks, Keith.
Thank you, Keith.
Thanks, Keith, and we will see you soon.